Good morning, witches. This is the Witch Daily Show, coming to you from New Orleans, with host Tanya Brown. Our episodes span about 20 minutes long to give you just a little pop of magic. So, tune in, take a deep breath, and enjoy. Good morning. It is November 15th, 2022. It is Tuesday. I am Tanya, and this is the Witch Daily Show. Today's episode is brought to you by Moonshine Wellness. So let's get your day going with a little magic. Our quote of the day is, "Embrace each challenge in your life as an opportunity for self-transformation," by Bernie Siegel. So, what are we drinking today? We are drinking orange besom tea from sipaspell.com. This tea has pu'er tea, orange, cacao nibs, chocolate and orange flavor, and blue cornflowers. So, we're going to talk a little bit about a very popular ingredient in witchcraft, orange peels. And this comes to us from alchemyworks.com. The high energy scent of oranges is said to communicate the joy of angels to human beings. Orange peel is great for embodying the sun in a mixture, whether potpourri, tea, sachets, charms. Like the sun, orange peel lifts those who are down, helps the confused find direction, and gives new life to spiritual yearnings. Its scent is good for dealing with obsessive thinking, turning us to what's important to us. It's good in Yule celebrations, reminding us of the promise of the sun. Add it to your winter wassail or put in a mortar and pestle and offer up bright fragrance by grinding it long midwinter nights. So you can add cinnamon, frankincense, nutmeg, juniper berries, and make a potpourri, or honor Leo in your rituals. Make a ritual bath, things like that. A friend of mine actually made the best orange cake, and she candied orange peels, and oof, I could have eaten those things every day for the rest of my life. They were fantastic. Man, I need to ask her to make that again. It was so good. I'm actually, just to go completely off topic, I'm actually doing something right now. It's like eating for your period. I'm sure I've shared that since I turned 30, my menstrual cycles have just been extremely horrible and really painful and miserable and just like disrupt my days. I'm late recording the podcast today because of it. And it's just it's like almost debilitating. I've gone to the doctor and I mean, you know how that goes, like nothing ever comes of it. And so I finally decided, I found something about eating for the different cycles that you go through and how different foods or vitamins or nutrients can help with those hormones. So I'm going to try it out. I'm really curious. I used to have the easiest, breeziest cycles in the world, and I miss that. So I'm going to try that, but I'm doing that right now. So I am on the day one of my cycle and I'm eating a lot of like red meat, a lot of fish, salmon. We just went out and got oysters, a lot of iron, so spinach. And according to what I read, you only do that for the days you're actively on, you know, your period. And then you move on and do these other phases. But what I noticed, it was really funny. I'm like, okay, so for 5 days you go kind of hard on fish and fatty fish and omegas and meat and eggs and, you know, iron. Okay. And then the next phase is like 8 or 9 days. And then you go really hard on fresh, raw fruits and vegetables. And hang on, let me just pull it up. I'll tell you about it. Obviously, please look it up. Don't take what I'm saying as like gospel here. This is just what I took from it. Okay, so then, you know, after that, it's a lot of big salads and broccoli and kale, a lot of cruciferous vegetables, lentils, tomatoes, bell peppers, herbal teas, things like that. So again, so you have about 5 days where it's like go hard on meat and iron and fat, and then it's like, okay, now let's have like 8 days of like nice big salads, cruciferous vegetables, all that. And then there's only 3 days where it's like, you know, oh, and then like for 3 days, it's a lot, like a lot of antioxidants and fiber, like pretty much just all antioxidants and fiber. And then like there's the last 10 days and it's like, okay, go hard on complex carbs and whole grains and avocado fat, like fatty fish, rice, whole grains, berries. So it's just really interesting. So I'm really gonna try it. But why I brought it up, because like I'm like as I was going through it, just how they have it, like, okay, a few days of meat and a few days of breads, and then a lot of days of like fresh fruits and vegetables and like, you know, X, Y, and Z. I'm like, this just sounds like a balanced diet. This just sounds like a nice balanced diet. But I'm gonna try it. I'm gonna see if it really makes a difference. And I'm just really curious. Of course, you know, as we know, always talk to your doctor and murmur. But I do just want to give it a shot. No one asked for that, but you know what? It is 7 p.m. and I'm very tired, and I've had a very long weekend, and I'm really just getting by, you know? All right, witches, we are moving on to some headlines. This comes to us from the WashingtonPost.com and their travel section. Why we love a good cemetery. All right. This was written by Andrea Sachs, October 24th, 2022. So it is new and relevant and interesting, and I love it. So let's talk about cemeteries. It is the season of the dead, after all. Speaking of season of the dead, let me just tell you something I'm doing. So it is feasting time. Right, whatever holiday that is for you, whether you do Mabon or I mean or Pasch, you get it. It's feasting time. So I love this season. I love cooking. I love the ritual of cooking. I love the whole thing. And I really to honor my grandmother who passed away last year. She had this like so she would always make pecan pie for the holidays, you know, pecan pie. And we just loved it. Like it was the best pie. And then when she wouldn't make it, we would rag on her really hard. And so she had to make it the next year, you know? And I remember last year, like I was gonna come for holidays, right? Like it was planned, I was coming, and we just like we're talking about she was so excited to make the pie. Like to make people like make pecan pie, and like I may have even said like she has to make the pie, you know. But then of course, you know, she passed away, and I remember we were like talking about the pie, and I like told my aunt, I was like, oh, like I was like, I'll make the pie. So we're like sitting there in hospice in the in hospice and in the hospital, and I was like, I'll make the pie. It's okay. It was just really strange. But she had this secret ingredient to her pie. And she passed 2 days or 3 days before Christmas. And I remember you can't, it's really hard to find this secret ingredient in the grocery store, but you can get it online. So I remember like texting my friends, SOS, can anyone, does anyone have Prime? Can anyone get this to my house? And they did. And I was able to make her pie. And I confirmed with my aunt this year, you know, because there was a lot of grief going on then. And I was like, did you really like the pie? Was it okay? Like, I'll change something if it's not. And she said it was perfect. So I ordered the secret ingredient. And I'm gonna make it for here. Cause I like she like pretty much, I mean, she traveled a like a little bit, you know, in her life, but for the most part, like she pretty much stayed in the same spot she had lived her whole life, you know? And I like the idea of like taking her secret ingredient to New Orleans and making her pie here for, you know, people who didn't know her and things like that. So when we talk a lot about Season of the Dead and ways you can honor, you know, people who, you know, in your life who have moved on, I think that's a really nice way. Like, introduce people who never knew them to the things they liked or the things that like remind you of them or, you know, things like that. So I'm really excited to make that pie for people here so they can get to know her a little bit through it. But anyways, speaking of cemeteries, again, this is from WashingtonPost.com. When Tracy Ryland plans a vacation, she always weaves cemetery into the family's travel itinerary. On a July trip to upstate New York, she explored 10 burial grounds over a week. For an upcoming road trip to Florida, she warned her husband and teenage son that they would be stopping at cemeteries on the way down and back. And after 10 years as a tombstone tourist, she recently set a new personal best, a dozen cemeteries in a day. We had some really interesting ones in Florida where I grew up. I'm really curious on if maybe she stopped there. Quote, "It's not just a bunch of dead people. It's art, architecture, stones, different eras, horticulture, flowers, trees, bird watching," said the Atlanta resident who created a blog, Adventures in Cemetery Hopping, about a decade ago. "I can look beyond the zombies and find something cool about history." For cemetery hoppers, or more properly, taphophiles, cemeteries are not simply a resting place for loved ones or fertile ground for horror stories. They are destinations that combine the art and history of museums, the flora and fauna of parks, the pop culture and fandom of celebrity home tours. Some people come here for the proximity to famous people. Jazz aficionados want to see Miles Davis and Duke Ellington. People who are interested in women's rights want to see Carrie Chapman Catt and Elizabeth Cady Stanton. And lately, it's been the Gilded Age TV show, said Susan Olsen. Oh, at Woodlawn Cemetery. Yeah, Woodlawn. Isn't Woodlawn? No, I don't know. I'm thinking of the Hollywood Forever Cemetery. Actually, is that. Hang on. Oh, that's the. Okay. So that is the Westwood Village Memorial, is what I'm thinking of. That's where, like, Marilyn Monroe and Hugh Hefner and all those people are buried. So, most travelers and accidental taphophiles, if you ever visited Paris or Savannah, Georgia, or New Orleans, hey, you qualify if you've visited cemeteries there. Yeah, so it's really just really fascinating. But it does bring up an interesting conversation because I had a friend in town and she did want to see one of our cemeteries because she's a big fan of the show The Originals and she wanted to see the cemetery that they film in all the time. So we did like a cemetery kind of just walking around. But something that's really fascinating is there has been a bit of a conversation recently about dark tourism. And dark tourism is where you know, tourism to view kind of the darker aspects of humanity. So maybe things like cemeteries or where tragedy struck. So like when people go to where JFK was shot or where really horrible things happen, like when people go to Milwaukee, where like Dahmer was like active. Like that's a thing people do, and it's called dark tourism. And there's a lot of conversation about how appropriate that is. I'm gonna be honest, I've heard both sides, and I personally don't have an opinion. It's just something I don't have enough information on or understanding on or feelings about to form an opinion, but it is a really fascinating conversation. So even if you don't have an opinion on it, maybe engaging in that conversation or at least witnessing it could be just good, you know, good information to digest. But yeah, this is really Interesting. Cemetery hoppers. Who knew? All right, witches. I'm going to throw this over to our moon correspondent, and after this break, we will talk more.
Hello to all of my astro friends. This is Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, coming at you with your daily moon mantra for Tuesday, November 15th. The waning gibbous moon takes the stage in Leo today. Here, the moon moves into a fixed T-square to Saturn and Uranus. T-squares are stressful aspects that create a lot of tension. With a fixed T-square, the tension rests on the fact that everyone is rooted in their own perspective or mindset and are unwilling to compromise in order to move the situation further. You will likely encounter this today and will need to decide for yourself whether you are willing or able to compromise. You don't need to give away the store. Just find those principles by which you need to stand and allow those to guide you as you navigate these energies. Your daily moon mantra is, respect for ourselves guides our morals. Respect for others guides our manners. This has been your daily moon mantra with Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, signing off and reminding you that you are in charge of your own destiny.
Feeling chronically overwhelmed and exhausted from work? If you feel like you're always running on a hamster wheel of work and life, but getting no time for yourself, it's time to work with a burnout wellness coach to create the time and space in your life for you. Chronic stress has many negative health effects, and creating rituals around relaxing your nervous system, getting restorative sleep, and settling into your body will help break this cycle of stress. Sign up today for a free 20-minute consultation at moonshinewellnesspnw.com and follow on Instagram at healersmoonllc.
All right, so we have a question from one of our listeners on the Facebook group. This comes from, let's see, Siren. Siren asks, happy Sunday and hope everyone is enjoying the new moon in Virgo vibes. Here's a question for the tarot readers in the group. I just brought home a new deck, and oof, the energy is strong with this deck. I could feel myself go between worlds as soon as I heard it. I think you mean held it, maybe? Usually, I leave a deck next to the bedside for a moon cycle, so it tunes with my energy before I use it. So I placed it on the stand last night with the plan of going new moon to new moon. When I woke up, the box was popped partially open. I should note it is a like fae deck and that it is a fae friendly household. Thoughts? Would you wait the cycle to try it out sooner? It seems like it might have something to say, and I'm not keen to piss off the fae of deliberate disregard. Love the idea. Don't piss off the fae. They are quite a sensitive bunch. So Kat says go with your intuition, but it sounds like you should be using it. Alicia says, I bought a new deck on Amazon this week and used it yesterday. I did feel pulled to read it, so it was meant to be. I agree. If you feel ready, go for it, right? I personally don't do much with new decks. When I was starting out, I would put a deck like under my pillow for a while, but I've also been using the same decks for so long personally that like they have my energy, I have their energy. If my deck gets damaged, I have to purchase a new one of the same type. I kind of view it as like reincarnation. I'm like, it's still my old deck, it knows. So I don't really do much, but we did find an article, practicalmagic.co, 10 ways to break in a new tarot deck. So here are some ideas if you are someone who has a new deck and you're just really, you know, you want some ideas. So number one is flip through the deck. Go through the cards one by one, You don't need to look at every single card and read its description in the guidebook. In fact, I'd warn against doing that. It'll take forever, and it'll probably overwhelm you and make you give up on ever using the cards. Number two, find your birth card within the deck. Oh, we gotta look up how to do that. This is a numerology exercise that can help you concentrate on one or two specific cards in your deck instead of feeling overwhelmed by all the cards. I will go over how to do that after we read this. Do a deck interview. A deck interview is a tarot spread that involves a series of prompts that helps you establish your relationship with a particular tarot deck. Number four, use your new tarot deck exclusively for 1 month straight. The first time I did this was with the That 90s Tarot by Christy Prokopek. The deck, which ended up being one of my very favorites, was a pip deck and was depicted not by scenes, but by illustrations. Number five, mix your cards up and put them back in order. This is actually my favorite technique and something I do regularly. I shuffle my deck, look at the cards, and then put them back in order. For people who like alphabetizing, organizing, you may really enjoy this. Work off of your olfactory senses. Light up some incense, diffuse some of your favorite oil blends, use a scented candle, and even spritz your deck with Florida water. Just putting on a specific perfume for a special occasion just puts you in the mood, setting the scene, and by using a certain scent, you can help to mentally, emotionally, and physically prepare for your new deck. I actually do this with my rituals. I have a very special perfume I wear only for rituals, and I don't wear it any other time. I don't smell it any other time, so when I use it, it really like triggers something in my brain. Number two, set your deck out during full moon or new moon, which is what Searson did. Start using it on a special occasion. Whether you follow the wheel of the year or not, or you want to do like a birthday or some sort of celebration, start using the deck then. It'll like bring happy memories. Use your new deck to refresh your altar space. Why not give your ritual table a refresh by getting some inspiration from your brand new deck? If this were part of my practice, you can like decorate. That's fun. And then last one, sleep with the new deck under your pillow. This is absolutely superstitious. I used to do it the night before a big exam. Sleep with my notes under my pillow. It represented all the information seeping into the subconscious. Yeah, that's the one I like. Okay, let's figure out what our birth card is, friends. I clicked on the link. This is from biddytarot.com. Let's see what they say. Oh, there's math. All right, friends. We'll do this together. Let me get out a notepad. Okay. So, to get one birth card, you add each number in your birth date. So, I'm going to do mine. So, you would do, like, let's say you're Jesus, okay? And your birthday is December 25th. I don't know. Let's just say 1976. So you would do like 1, 2, 2, 5, 1, 9, 7, 6. Okay, and we're going to add them up all together. So I'm going to do mine. Okay, let's see. I'm pulling up the calculator. I have some big numbers in mine. Don't judge me. All right. All right, I got double digits. So as you know, you then add those double digits together. I got 32, so I'm going to do 3 plus 2. And so my number is 5. So then what you do is you see what that number is in the deck. So I'm going to type in 5th card of tarot. Ooh, the Hierophant. Cool. teacher or counselor to help with learning and education. Love, love, love. So fun. That's fun. Okay, that was a good time. I enjoyed that. All right, witches. We are wrapping up this episode of the Witch Daily Show. We do want to give some shout-outs. Lisa McGinnis, Lisa, you innocent, cunning spider queen. Christina Gerritsen, Christina, you thoughtful, loyal vampire slayer. Garris Sue, you glorious, powerful barn owl. And then finally, Jennifer DiMucci. Jennifer, you opulent, starry-eyed pixie. Thank you for so much being Patreon supporters. I really, really appreciate it. And before we leave, we do have a card pull today. Our card is the Werewolf from the Deep, Dark, Dangerous Oracle. Let's see. My house is very haunted, by the way. It's been extra haunted recently. I had a guest staying with me. And she has stayed with me a few times. But she told me this time, she's like, your house is so haunted. I hear so much weird stuff at night. But I just lay there and I accept it. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. It's New Orleans. I can't help it. Anyways, our card is Werewolf. Let's see what our message is today. Seek and acknowledge your true nature. Understand what is driving you. Ooh. Well, remember when we talked about werewolves in our monsters, cryptids, and creatures series, werewolves are all about primal desire. What do you want? What do you want? When I do readings for Lenormand and I pull the moon is typically what it is that you truly, truly desire. And it's not what you tell people you desire. It's not your goals. It's not, well, I would really like to own a bookstore one day. That's like, no. It is the things you think about when you are lying alone at night looking up at the moon. And it is those desires. I think that's really fun and important to know. And I feel like the happiest people know their deepest desires. All right, witches. So before we go, I do want to remind you the Hectic Witches Planner is now available on Amazon hardcover and paperback, both, because somebody asked. I don't remember who, but you ask and I do it. That's how this works here, folks. You ask for something, I try my hardest, you know? So, but I will say one of my favorite parts of the article or the book, and there are a few things we stuck from last time, and this one I stuck with because I really loved it, and I may read it for you guys in January. But it's an article I wrote for the planner, and it's a true reset. It's about the true resets in life we need to unclutter our minds and our brains and make things just a little bit easier, you know? So I absolutely love it. I use my planner myself. Right now I'm toting around both the blue and the mauve because I'm in that time period where people are trying to make plans for January. And so I gotta like start writing it down. All right, witches. That's all I've got for you today. Don't forget any books, text, headlines, sources, anything we've referenced today in the podcast episode description or witchpod.com. And we will talk again Thursday.
Witches, we hope you have a wonderful day, full of joy and gentleness and confidence. Links for this week's episodes, our website, Patreon, along with a free daily card pull can be found at witchpod.com. One stop for everything we talk about. Now, take one more deep breath and have a great day.
I had an abortion when I was 15 years old in my home state of Arizona in 1994. It was not a decision that I made lightly, but I have never for one moment doubted that it was the right decision for me. But so much has changed in Arizona and many other states since then. If I were that same 15-year-old in Arizona today, legally, I would have to get parental consent. I would be forced to undergo a medically unnecessary ultrasound, go to a state-mandated in-person counseling session designed solely to shame me into changing my mind, and then take a state-mandated 24-hour timeout to make sure I really know what I wanted. And finally, I would be forced to give the state a reason why. Well, here is mine. It is my body, not the state's. Women and their doctors are the ones that are in the best position to make informed decisions about what is best for them. No one else. No bill that criminalizes abortion will stop anyone from making this incredibly painful decision. These bans will not stop abortion from happening, but they will drive women and girls and people into the shadows, which is what this has always been about, shaming and controlling women's bodies. In the week after I shared my story on my show, women were coming up to me in the street, in the supermarket, at my gym, with tears in their eyes, thanking me for my bravery. But the word brave didn't sit right with me. Why is it brave to speak to an experience that millions of people around the world throughout history have gone through? And then I realized it is considered brave because as women, we have been taught to feel shame about our bodies since birth. I am so sad that we have to sit here in front of a row of politicians and give deeply personal statements, because the why doesn't matter. It should not matter. I am a human being that deserves autonomy in this country that calls itself free, and choices that a human being makes about their own bodies should not be legislated by strangers who can't possibly know or understand each individual's circumstances or beliefs. I'm here today to help destigmatize a legitimate medical procedure and continue to encourage women not to allow themselves to be shamed for their choices. And finally, I am here today for my two little girls, Birdie and Cricket. My dream for them is that they will live in a world in which women are truly equal with complete control over their own reproductive health. That is the dream I hold for all people, regardless of their privilege or parents or what state they live in. That dream is slipping further and further from reality with every ban passed. I hope that you, our elected leaders, can help us reverse the tide. Thank you. I look forward to today's discussion.